to talk to you today about spiritual experience. And part of my motivation was in the last month hearing three things said or assumed by people about what the point of worship is, that I found myself both disagreeing and agreeing with them in the same moment, a sure sign that it's time to pay attention. But also, this is in the Christian liturgical calendar. We are in the period of Advent, the period of preparation for Christmas, and this is intended to be a time of year for devoting yourself to spiritual practice, specifically prayers of anticipation and preparation. As Unitarian Universalists, of course, we have more latitude than that. Our spiritual experience is broad and comes from many sources and many inspirations. But all the more reason to talk about what exactly worship is, the hows and the whys of it. For in our world, if anything is a spiritual experience, the question becomes, how do we make it a spiritual experience? And so today I'm going to talk about something that Henry Nelson Wyman called mystic method. Henry Boss Nelson Wyman was a Unitarian Universalist theologian who did most of his work in the 1950s. And he had the same argument that everyone Underhill did, that there are actual steps, actual progressions towards which we can move towards having spiritual experiences. And they can be described in a way that is open to a diversity of theological belief. So I wanted to try that today and see how we go, for it is the spirit of Advent, and while hugging your cat may indeed be a spiritual experience, it's not necessarily a spiritual experience. Now, it might be good to know what process we go through to make things worship, whether it's the worship we do together or the worship we do in private, in whatever spiritual life we enjoy. So Henry Nelson Wyman, it's important that you should know his conception of God, for that feeds this understanding of spiritual experience. For him, God is something he calls that momentum towards integration that we all find in our lives. Okay, big abstract words. It's not as bad as it seems. It's really what he's talking about is what we often call in our own principles and purposes the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part. The base notion is that our life is made up of relationships. Relationships with ourselves, relationships with each other, and also relationships to the non-human. And the quality of our relationships is, in this sense, the same thing as the quality of our spiritual life. So the goal of our spiritual life becomes improving relationships, and improving then to our relationship to the holy. The difference between Nelson Wyman's conception of the process of integration and interdependent web is with Nelson Wyman's conception, you get more of a sense how much that process is up to you. The only problem with the web as an image is I think of the web as being a fairly static thing that holds me in connection. But the fact of the matter is we make choices all of the time and every day about what we move forward to and what we move away from. And in doing that, we are either working with processes, larger processes of integration, or against them. And the degree to which we are working with them is the degree to which he says we are participating in this spiritual process. Because for him, God is that momentum which wants your integration. Oh, abstractions, abstractions. He does give one perfect metaphor for describing this, which I enjoy all the more because it's something we're talking about now literally, and he didn't mean it literally at all. But his metaphor is sustainable agriculture. He said, think about farming. You know, do you farm in such a way that's hostile to the health of the human beings who eat your food, that is a gesture of control and dominance over the land? Or do you seek to farm in a way that uses the natural life force of the farm itself, and of the food, and of the land, and to integrate those in such a way that they're working together in a good relationship? And for Nelson Wyman, God is the momentum towards that kind of integration, the life force which we gain when we move into that relationship. Okay. Enough theory. Let's talk about practice. How do you do it? Well, Nelson Wyman says, and I would have to agree, that the first emotional attitude to make any experience spiritual is the deliberate cultivation of a feeling of dependence. Oh, I know I'm saying that to Unitarian Universalists. And I know our first impulse is to say, no, we are self-reliant, we are self-sufficient. Human power is considerable and good, and indeed it is. But let's just take a moment to think about dependence, what it is and what it's not. I said I was moved to talk about the spiritual experience because I heard a number of things last month that I disagreed with and agreed with. One of the things that sort of shocked me was talking to an acquaintance who was talking about her remorse for not going to church. And I was agreeing with her, yes, of course you missed that experience. And then she continued, and I realized that she felt the problem with not going to worship was that God was not receiving the praise that God requires to do God's best work. That's not the dependence I'm talking about. My own conception of God is not a God that requires my praise. My own conception of God is not God as a needy boss who needs to hear that he's done great work. Good job with the Red Sea, right on. So I realized that as she was talking about her understanding of worship, that's not my I worship, and yet there was a piece of that that seemed to be a true description of the worshipful experience. And that is this cultivation of a feeling of dependence. Can you go into an experience with an understanding that yes, you are good and powerful as a human being, and yet there is so much upon which you are dependent in this moment and every moment that has brought you to this moment? We don't do this to feel vulnerable. We don't do it to make ourselves again ashamed of human power, but because remember that interdependent web. If spirituality is a matter of relationship, we have to understand that our relationships are mutual. They are interdependent. They require us to acknowledge that which has been given to us by no action of our own. I love the Wendell Berry poem where he explains this spiritual feeling. He says, "It is not by my will that the house is carried through the night." You need not have a particular conception of God in order to enter into this dependence, just an understanding that indeed there is some grace, there is some supporting force in the world that brings the house through the night that is not yours. The first moment in religion is to understand that we are not self-sufficient and we are not self-derived. Okay, so if we enter into the spiritual experience, we open ourselves to this dependence. What next? Here's where Nelson Wyman says that we might think about opening ourselves to possibility. But I have to take another detour to tell you about the conception of worship I began to wonder about, the second one. And this came to me in the form of catalogs in the mailbox. Anybody else getting catalogs this time of year? I'm not the only one, few. Although some of them that come, I wonder what people think of me that they would have thought to put me on this list, or what did I do unwillingly to get on this list? But I've been very amused that I've been getting lots of catalogs for Zen products specifically targeted for Christmas. And I was just deeply amused to think for a while that I could potentially have an entirely Zen Christmas, give only Zen presents, decorate only with Zen decorations, and do some sort of Buddhist Christmas thing. But after I got over that, I noticed all of the books that, and we've become so accustomed to them, that teach the very valuable practice of mindfulness, the art of being in the present moment. And I know I'm certainly indebted to Thich Nhat Hanh and his